Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Thursday. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And once again this week, my resident producer and goddess of efficiency, Kina, is still on her wonderful vacation, which I wish her blessings that she's enjoying her cruise to Hawaii with her mom. And so the way that relates to us is that, once again, the chat room will be open, but there will be nobody actually manning it until after the show. And you can still call in. The call-in number is 424-258-9337, and that's for our friends in the L.A. area. The toll-free number for everyone else, including those here in the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, is toll-free 877-697-9725. So call in and, you know, you'll end up getting straight to me. Otherwise, you can log into the chat room. And after the show, I'll be logging in and taking your questions and comments. So this has been a tremendously, you know, emotional week for a lot of folks. And that's why I decided to talk about what's going on with Hurricane Sandy, that superstorm that has really had such a huge effect on so many areas. And the reason that I called this episode Faith, Hope, and Charity is that, you know, not coming from specifically a biblical point of view, but the idea that those are the elements that allow us to move forward, allow us to move past these really, really difficult things. And understand, when I say faith, it's not about a specific religion. It's not about a specific spiritual practice. Whatever works for you, I love it for you. And even if that means that, you know, your faith is in science and quantum physics, if your faith is in the idea that, well, everything happens for a reason, it doesn't matter what you believe, but as long as you believe something, if there is the idea that, you know what, this is it, this life is it, there's nothing after, there was nothing before, cool, then go with that and find that balance within yourself. So when I talk about faith, it's more from the idea of trusting, even if it's that you trust that there are people around you who will take care of you. There are people around you who love you. And there's even total strangers who would be willing to risk their lives to take care of you. And, you know, I speak of the amazing and phenomenal emergency workers who have just been working tirelessly to be able to take care of others and find as many survivors as possible and really place themselves at risk in order to be able to allow others to have the best possible chance. And if you are one of these, you know, emergency folks and, you know, you're out there, you know, my prayers and thoughts are with you, as I'm sure the prayers and thoughts of the entire world. And if you are related to, you know, someone who is an emergency worker, you know, it's amazing. And it is so wonderful that they give that gift. And there's a lot of those who give their lives during, you know, in the process of that work. And I just honor that so much. So when we look at, you know, these events, and we think about, okay, first there's that sense of shock. There's that, oh my gosh, and, you know, sitting and watching these events take place, you know, on the media, there's been lots and lots of pictures, there's been lots and lots of video. And watching what is happening, it's almost like there's that sense of, this isn't real. You know, this can't be real. But it is. And it is happening. And I come from a very, nature-oriented sort of philosophy. And the idea that, this was a really horrible thing to happen to so many people. And please try to remember that this was an act of nature. And it is not about, and depending on how your philosophies are, this is not intended to offend. My feeling is that this is not a punishment. This is just a natural occurrence. It's an event. And the fact that, it is such a devastating thing. And, my heart goes out to every single person who is affected. And these, it happens in nature. We look back at Katrina. We look back at Joplin, Missouri, just back in 2011, in May of last year. A tornado that was the deadliest tornado to hit since 1947. I mean, many people killed. I think it was like over 160 people killed, 1,000 injured, a couple of billion dollars, almost $3 billion in damages. And then, of course, there was Katrina back in August of 2005, almost 2,000 deaths, $81 billion in damages. We look at these things that happen in nature, and really, we want to know why. It is our nature to want to know why something like this would happen, why it would happen here or there or wherever it happens. There may never be an answer to that question. And, I was in Louisiana when Hurricane Andrew came through. And I remember feeling just that sense of, I was in my bathroom with, sitting in the tub because the emergency broadcast system, we went there and we sat down and we sat in the bathtub. And my sons, who were both very young at the time, wondered why we were sitting in the bathtub. And I just kind of made a joke and I said, well, we're going to have a bathtub party. And we're going to sit here and, and I had a radio in there and, we talked about, I told them a story about a magic bathtub that I was thinking of, mostly just to keep my own concerns, quiet. It is important, really, really important to be able to hold on to that which makes us human, even if it's our fear, even if it's, because on the other side of that fear is hope. There was a wonderful, wonderful article that went out on CNN.com. And in fact, it was the Katrina and Joplin survivors were offering advice to the Sandy victims. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about that because it not only speaks to natural disasters, it also speaks to anything that comes into our life that can devastate us. And so many things, family deaths, changes in your living situation, maybe a foreclosure, maybe job losses, maybe, it could be anything. And as I was reading it, it just struck me so powerfully that, this applies to all those moments in our lives that, we just can't manage, that just kind of came at us and we have to deal with. So I'm just going to read you a few things from that. And this is from the survivors themselves. You're probably on autopilot right now. You're moving through it. Stand in the ruins of the life you had before the disaster. Understand that was before. The after is when you're good and ready. Hours will still go by. Days will happen. You might not remember to eat because you're filling out paperwork and talking to insurance operators. You will get put on hold. Your life will feel forever on hold. At some point when you're thinking you're handling it, you will stumble on something that reminds you of that old life. Maybe it's a thing or it's a memory. Maybe this will happen when you finally get the sleep you've gone without since the disaster. You're going to feel really, really awful again for a while. And from a woman named Eileen Romero, who was in the Katrina hurricane and the aftermath of it. And one of the things that she says that just really struck me was, understand that the life you had before something like this isn't coming back. And that's not always a bad thing, she said. Discover and make yourself anew. And like I said, it's through CNN.com, and it's Katrina Joplin survivors offer advice to Sandy victims. It was just, you know, something that struck me as so perfect because it was coming from people who knew. I mean, I can speak a lot about different things. And while I was in Andrew, you know, I wasn't devastated by it. I do have family members who were. My aunt, who lived in Fleda, Louisiana, she ended up with 12, 15 people living in her house for a very long time while their lives were being put back together. And I do remember the 1989 earthquake that was so devastating to the Bay Area and how many lives were displaced in a heartbeat, how many lives were ended in a heartbeat. And when you think about when something happens on that huge a scale, it really is. There's something that becomes numb because it's almost as if it's like a sensory overload. Once that numbness passes, there's a need to act. In a lot of cases, you know, there's that, I need to do something. Whether you're experiencing it firsthand or whether or not you're hearing about it from, you know, from somewhere else. Sometimes we want to be able to take that action, but, you know, we're not quite sure what to do. And when these things sort of happen, when natural disasters happen, it can bring out the absolute best in humanity. And unfortunately, it can also bring out the worst. And there are a lot of folks out there who view this as an opportunity for personal gain. And sometimes the charities that are put out there aren't always legitimate. And there's some ways that you can get around that, though. There are places that you can check. If you find out about a charity who, you know, says, well, you know, we're collecting for Katrina and things like that, the IRS has a database of charities and nonprofit organizations. You can go to irs.gov and you can check them out there. You can also go to charitynavigator.org. That's charitynavigator.org. And they would have a list of charities. Also, which is what tremendously cool, you can always go to the American Red Cross. And apparently iTunes and also eBay are accepting donations. And they're partnered, you know, with the Red Cross. So, you know, those would be, you know, good, safe places to be able to go to and, you know, try to make a difference. And a lot of people have. I mean, as of Wednesday morning, you know, almost $11.5 million had been raised. And that was since Monday. People are willing to help. People want to get out there. Companies are willing to help. Apparently, there's a disruption of the wireless connections out there, and while they're working on getting those put back together, there are wireless carriers who send out emergency trucks, and and these are free. People can recharge their devices for free. They can get a computer workstation to sit and work at to send messages, and I guess some of them are even doing free local calls, so that people can, you know, somehow get word out. So there's a lot that can be done, and there's a lot that's being done. And really, those few very, very disturbed beings that view this as some opportunity to take advantage of others, you know, what goes around comes around. And I'm a firm believer in that. And sometimes you bring on really hard lessons for yourself. So the idea that, you know, there are things that you can do, there's groups, a lot of church groups, you know, those are, you know, are really good to be able to go to. Finding a way to help keeps back that feeling of helplessness. It allows you to become a part of a solution. When we sit back and we just sit and are overwhelmed by devastation, whether it's this, whether it's something in our lives, whether, you know, it's a personal loss, when you sit in it, it doesn't get better. It only gets worse. Being able to take an action empowers. It allows us to move into that place of, okay, there's nothing I can do about this, but there's something I can do about that. I can take an action. I can do something positive. I can work on turning this huge negative experience into something good. And maybe, you know, looking at it, those who believe that, you know, there's that kind of, you know, almost like a fatalist type of viewpoint that, you know, well, what's meant to happen is exactly what does happen. But the idea of being able to make yourself anew, you know, what the woman said, understand that life, the life you had before, something like this isn't coming back. And that's where, you know, when we get attached, you know, we have those attachments. And those attachments, they're not bad. They're, you know, they just are. And when we reach that place where something comes into our lives that takes all those attachments off and takes all the attachments away, and we are basically stuck where we have to be in that moment. And it allows us to be able to take a really good hard look at what is it that we really do need, what is it we really do want. And, you know, it can be terrifying. While I haven't been in a natural disaster like this, you know, I have experienced personal family loss. You know, I've watched family members, you know, go through really some bad stuff and then pass. And I would be in that space of, I don't know what to do. There's nothing I can do. And, you know, I'll start tidying up. One thing that my sons have always mentioned that they could always tell when I was upset because they'd come home and everything was like spotless clean. And they would look around because, you know, housework, not a fan. You know, I keep things reasonable, but when it goes into that, oh my gosh, you know, this is like really, you can smell the pine sol and all of that stuff. They usually will say, it's like, Mom, are you okay? Because when my mother was dying and I had nothing else that I could do, I felt so entirely helpless. All I could think to do was, well, I can tidy up. I can tidy up, and I would tell myself, well, people are going to be coming over, so I should have things tidied up. And it took part of the pain and shifted it into something else. Now understand, that pain has got to be gone through. It was important for me to mourn the loss of my mother and when my sister passed and when my father passed. Each of these processes, including something on a scale as huge as this, requires mourning. It requires that place of, you know, really acknowledging that what you have lost was important to you, that it was a part of you, and it's a part of you that is going to remain changed for the rest of your life. Whether it's a situation of, you know, something on a global scale, or if it's just something personal, maybe it's the loss of a pet. The exact same thing. Pain is pain. And one of my favorite quotes by the Dalai Lama, pain is inevitable. Suffering is a choice. And how we go through that mourning process, how we go through that change, will really define what is it that, you know, we can find from it that is the gift. Where is the gift underneath all of it? Where is that place of, oh, okay, I get it, I get it. And, you know, understanding it's not personal. You know, this natural event, this devastating natural event, it wasn't meant against anyone. It wasn't because of anyone. It happened. And it is no more, you know, bad in and of itself than a rainbow is good. Things happen. Devastating things happen. And for those who are affected, you know, I just, you know, it's just so hard to feel like, you know, you really can't do anything. You just want to go and hug each and every person there. You wish that you could, you know, enfold your arms around that entire area and tell them that they're going to be okay and they're going to be all right and that they are loved and that they are cared about. And really, the entire world is watching this and holding them in that wonderful, powerful thought that they're going to be okay. They will survive. And that really, I mean, that is the measure of humanity. That is why we're here. We're here to help take care of one another. Even if all we can offer is a prayer, even if when somebody is sitting there devastated, if all you can do is sit and cry with them, that's a lot. If you can offer nothing else than a positive thought, that means everything. And if we as a people, as a species of beings, can recognize that we are absolutely 100% connected. And it's moments like this that bring out the absolute best. People give up themselves. They offer up their lives. A New York police officer helped save 7 of his family members and ultimately lost his life while trying to help them. And, you know, when somebody is willing to do that, and there's lots of people willing to do that. I remember back in the earthquake, the Loma Prieta quake, one of the freeways had collapsed. And there were people, you know, it was like the overpass part had collapsed down and cars were squished and there were people trapped in there. Total strangers, even though there were aftershocks happening, you know, they went in to help pull people out. They put themselves at risk to save others. And, you know, as long as that happens in the world, as long as at least one person is doing that in the world, as far as I'm concerned, we as a species are going to be okay. We're going to be fine. Because anybody doing anything else is totally, you know, that is not the rule. That's the exception. Fundamentally, we are divine beings having a human experience. And I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that the people are going to be taken care of. They're going to be okay because we love. Because we have the capacity to love. Because we have the capacity to look at someone else and say, they need something. How can I help? They have, I believe that the blood centers are doing blood drives, you know, to make sure that, you know, all the injured are taken care of. You know, donating blood. Check with the local blood bank and see if something like that is happening. And always, always remember, we're going to be okay. No matter what your belief system, no matter how you hold it, no matter what you hold, we're going to be okay because we're in this together. Because ultimately, love wins. Ultimately. And those things that we lose, those parts of our lives, whether they're, you know, people or things or whatever, those things that we lose, as long as we hold that memory, we will never truly lose them. They will always be a part of us. So keep your prayers going in whatever form. It could be a formal prayer. It could just be a, you know what, I hope they're okay. You know, I really do. That is a prayer. Keep your positive thoughts. You know, help out where you can. You know, if your church is doing donations for blankets or anything like that, you know, used cell phones. I don't know. They will take, you can probably find a way to donate almost anything. You know, contacting the animal shelters for our four-legged friends and, you know, on all the pets that end up displaced by stuff like this. Figuring out how to help. There's always ways to help. And even if the only way that you help is to send out a good thought, not so bad. So I wish everyone a wonderful week. My thoughts and prayers are with all of those who have been affected, you know, in the Caribbean, everywhere. All of those who have been affected by this. Yeah, know that you are in my thoughts and my prayers and the thoughts and prayers of the world. And for those of you who are waiting to find out information, who are still looking to find out information about friends and family members, my prayers are with you too, and my thoughts are with you. Do not suffer through this alone. Make sure you get help. Make sure that when you're feeling that pressure and that hopelessness, make sure you reach out, because hope is there. And there are people who will help. There are people who will support you in this process, because it is a process. Know that you are loved. Know that there are people who want to take care of you and help you through this. And know that there are people who know what you're going through, who are ready to stand with you. None of us stand alone when things like this happen. And whether it's a global devastation or whether it's a personal devastation, don't sit in it alone. Make sure you get the help that you need to get in order to allow you to help others. And if you're a caregiver, make sure you're taking care of yourself. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of others. So I want everyone to, you know, keep those good thoughts out. Election next week for those of you here in the U.S. And I really don't care who you vote for or what you vote for. Just vote. My ex-husband had a great-grandmother who was over 100. And she remembers the first time she was able to go vote and how proud she was. Never underestimate the power of one vote, because it's yours. You earned it. It wasn't given to most of us, but we have it. Use it. In whatever you believe, go out and support it. Take care of it. Because if you don't vote, you got no right to complain. Be a part of it, whether you think it matters or not. Believe me, it does. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Blessings to you all, and I will be back next week, and my dear Kino will be back next week, manning the chat room and all of that. So until then, I wish you blessings. I wish you peace, faith, hope, and charity. And may your worlds be balanced, at least your personal world. What happens around you, you can't control, but you can control what happens inside. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.